He's not as smart as David Iverson. He's not nearly as distinguished as Ken Pendergraft, and he's way shorter than Tom Kelly. But every family needs a black sheep with special skills and abilities. Are you ready to just blame Joey?
And it is that time once again, Just Blame Joey Live, coming at you from the 1776 Audio Foundry Studios. We're going to burn it up, light it on fire, and watch it all burn down today. Lots of stuff going on, so make sure you're grabbing that comfy seat, getting that cup of coffee filled up, and get ready. Just Blame Joey Live starts right now here on the Independence Network.
After an exclusive two-decade tour of Europe, Asia, the Pacific, the Middle East, and all stops in between, realizing Wyoming is the only America that America has left, he's finally back for good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of 1776 Audio Foundry Management to present to you your host, recently profiled on the lifestyles of the prolific and gifted. He's an overnight success that has been years in the making. He's your very own Saratoga Sledgehammer. Here is Jailbird Joey.
Well, hello and thank you for engaging once again in another opportunity to get your fill of cantankerous commentary and political entertainment all backed up with actual facts and data. Coming to you from the Cathedral of Accountability in a well-secured bunker deep beneath the 1776 Audio Foundry Studios, this is the home of liberty-minded constitutional conservatism. I am your host, the Saratoga Sledgehammer, Mr. Misdemeanor himself, Jailbird Joey, and it is time to just blame Joey. Good day to you, all you biological boys and girls, and if you identify as anything else, this show is most likely not going to be your cup of tea, but we're going to get started anyway, and you're more than welcome to stick around and give it a listen. And I wish you the best of luck with those feelings as you just blame Joey. So with that, let's stir this pot.
Now, I don't even know that we need to stir the pot today. It looks like it's going to be stirring itself and catching on fire all on its own. But we'll get to that. Good morning out there in Internet Radio Land, and welcome back to Just Blame Joey Live. So excited to be back in the studio for some more time one-on-one with you this morning here on the Independence Network. It is 11 a.m. on Tuesday, March 26th, and baby, it's cold outside, but it's going to be hot here in the studio as we will be keeping an eye on the fire being stoked in Cheyenne between the Governor Go Green Gordon, legislative leadership, and those conservative legislators that are all throwing sparks from different directions and lighting things up at the state capitol over this special session, I don't know, quandary, debate. If you've been listening to the Independence Network at all this morning, you know lots of things going lots of different directions, lots of people taking sides, then flip-flopping, but oh well, it is all seeming to catch fire, and hopefully it doesn't all burn down. So with that, we'll be doing a little bit of hot fire tunes today as we try to avoid burning down the house ourselves here at the Independence Network. We are still adjusting to the new one-hour show format here on Just Blame Joey Live, so a little less music than we had before the session. We just had to make some room for the new morning show. And with that, every morning at 9 a.m., you will be able to tune in to the Independence Network, catch the morning show with David Iverson and myself. And it just, there was almost no end to the amount of requests we got that we continue that and support we've been getting since we've been back from session in continuing that collaboration that we started down in Cheyenne. So we'll happily oblige, keep doing it, and we will get into that new schedule here on the live show, not just in the morning show with David Iverson, but here on Just Blame Joey Live, bringing you some old favorite little bits here and there. And some of that highly flammable hits in the soundbox today on Just Blame Joey Live while you are getting your fill of cantankerous commentary with all that political, social, and civic entertainment backed up with facts and data, as is the standard here across the Independence Network. Jailbird Joey, of course, swinging the bat as I always do, working hard in your free time so you don't have to. All ramped up this morning and ready to get you that content you crave with some event updates and details we'll probably do at the end of the show. Going to jump into a news story a couple of news stories, but a situation we're calling Governor Gordon wipes his ass with a water tower shaped copy of the Wyoming Constitution. Yeah, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. And today is the day for where the hell did that come from? Finding the foundation of our favorite figurative phrases. And of course, no episode of Just Blame Joey Live would be complete without a visit to the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag. Plenty of time to get into all that today while we enjoy some burning inferno tunes here on Just Blame Joey Live, your safe place to be dangerous. We'll be right back. little disco inferno from the Tramps as we burn it up today and watch everybody else across the state who say they represent us and our common values play with fire. We'll get into that first news story of the hour, something we've titled Governor Gordon Wipes His Ass with a Water Tower-Shaped Copy of the Constitution. But Representative Jeremy Haroldson has called in his op-ed, Governor Gordon unconstitutionally plays politics with people's lives. This op-ed is available at www.independencenetwork.us under the Articles tab. And we thank Representative Haroldson for the submission. I'm going to go ahead and read the op-ed for you, and then we'll get into some of the responses we've had over it. Tell a liberal you favor lower taxes, and they'll respond by asking if you want to go without paved roads, running sewers, and other critical infrastructure. It's a straw man argument, of course. Everyone wants basic public goods and services to be well-funded and functional. That's why I will always support the funding of constitutional and necessary functions of government. Our nation's founding fathers knew that these things, like post offices, are necessary for a functioning society. I'm going to stop right there. I might disagree about the post office thing, but post offices are one of the few things that actually appear by name in the Constitution. So, six in one hand, half dozen in the other. I just don't know that we need them. Anyway, back to the op-ed from Representative Haroldson. What our founders didn't envision was a government that ballooned over 30% in less than 5 years, one so huge that it could find businesses to compete with your neighbor's feed store, or so detached from reality that it believed it could save and spend better than people can themselves. For these and many other reasons, I joined 20 of my colleagues in the Wyoming House in voting against what constitutes the largest budget, what constitutes the largest budget in Wyoming history. Got a little hiccup in my computer here. For this, the governor has chosen to dangerously put lives and livelihoods in my district in jeopardy with one swish of the pen. The governor issued a line item veto to remove funding for an aging water tower in my home of Wheatland, Wyoming. A water tower that is in such poor shape it could breach at any moment, destroying 10 or more city blocks in its wake. Within the area of this aging water tower are countless homes, many businesses, a school, and more. I believe there's a nursing center in there as well. And I've heard that if you go and park a truck right up next to that water tower, go ahead and wash it off for you at no charge. Anyway, back to the op-ed. Representative Haroldson goes on to say, I believe that we should always attribute to misunderstanding what could otherwise be attributed to malice, and I'll never impugn someone's motives for cheap points. Governor Gordon is playing politics with people's lives, and he even said so himself. In his veto letter, the governor stated clearly that the reason for removing funding for the water tower was due to my personal vote against the budget. Quote, following the lead of local legislators who voted against the budget, thereby indicating their regard for the inclusion of this project in the budget, I have removed this provision, end quote. That was Governor Gordon's statement on the line item veto. Not only is this move reckless and retributive, but it's also likely unconstitutional. Known as punishment by appropriation, Gordon's line item veto violates equal protection principles as set out in the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The state of Wyoming cannot deny funding to a city because its representative voted against it in the budget. At the end of the day, this personally targeted veto would be funny if it weren't a life-threatening unconstitutional move. And that is the statement from Representative Jeremy Haroldson on the line item veto, which six in one hand, half dozen in the other. Again, the governor was going to veto whatever he wanted. He could have his own personal motives and reasons for doing so. But when the governor added the commentary to that line item veto saying, this is why I'm doing it, and it's because, without naming names, he basically said, Jeremy Haroldson voted against the budget, therefore if it doesn't matter to him, I'm not going to pretend it matters to me. That's where the problem lies. Not in the veto, not in the project, not in the need, not in the cost, but in the commentary added to the veto. Well, this op-ed that was first posted on the Independence Network from Representative Haroldson has gone pretty far and is in the hands of the Wyoming mainstream media. So let's jump into what the Cowpie has to say in reflection on Representative Haroldson's op-ed. In a story titled, Legislator Calls Gordon Veto of Wheatland Water Tower Vindictive and Reckless, Little Lion Leo Trotsky Wolfson writes, State Representative Jeremy Harrelson of Wheatland says it's likely Governor Mark Gordon violated the U.S. Constitution with a reckless and vindictive veto of the $2 million to help replace a failing water tower in his town. Quote, the governor issued a line item veto to remove funding for an aging water tower in my home of Wheatland, a water tower that is in such poor shape, blah, blah, blah. We already read that. So direct quotes from Representative Harrelson's op-ed there. Harrelson went on to write that the governor's move was reckless and vindictive and likely unconstitutional. That last barb aimed at the governor stems from the fact that the governor specifically said in his veto letter that he was following Harrelson's lead in taking the action he did as the legislator voted against the budget that contained the spending measure. Again, the quote from the governor that he wrote into his line item veto, following the lead of local legislators who voted against the budget, thereby indicating their regard for the inclusion of this project in the budget, I have removed that position. And you're going to hear that over and over and over again. Those are the words of our governor in an official government document that are personal, and I believe, based on retribution, but they are in the historic record now. That will be in Wyoming's legislative history forever. Gordon took similar action against building a recreation center in Riverton, vetoing $2.5 million for the project because one of its leading proponents, Senator Tim Salazar of Riverton, similarly voted against the budget. Quote, the principal sponsor of this provision did not sponsor the final budget, therefore I must assume his enthusiasm for it must have waned. Well, there you go, Governor Gordon. Let's go ahead and administer the government on behalf of the people in good faith based on feelings and assumptions. Ah, this guy. Gordon also said he removed the rec center money as he saw it as unrelated to the ordinary expenses of Wyoming state government. I wish you would apply that equally against every item in the budget and say, nope, that's not regular expenses. Like, I don't know, your $350 million Go Green Gordon Fund. That's not regular expenses. Come on, Mark. Ah. It's all about hypocrisy, and it's ridiculous. So anyway, ordinary expenses of the government, in contrast to the water tower that was to be paid for with federal American Rescue Plan Act funds, the money for this project was going to be paid for with Office of State Land and Investment money. So let's stop there before we get into the constitutional argument and ask a couple questions. So we've got $2.5 million for the project in Riverton that was denied, and another $2 million for the water tower out there in Wheatland. We don't do anything that is not ordinary expenses of the Wyoming state government. We don't do pet projects and all these other excuses Governor Gordon states, but somewhere in the budget, they approved $3.5 million to the city of Casper on the chance that they may end up hosting the national air races. How is that regular business and expenses of the state of Wyoming? It's not. It's travel and tourism dollars. It should come from travel and tourism, and it should not be in the general budget, Governor Gordon. So if you just apply a little bit of fundamental principle equally across all your decisions, you might stay off my radar a little bit more. Anyway, back to the story in the Cowpie asking about the constitutionality. Representative Harrelson believes Gordon is committing punishment by appropriation. The 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution says, no state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within his jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Harrelson said Gordon is singling out Wheatland because he voted against the budget, a move that he asserts likely violates the Constitution. Quote, I am personally disappointed that our governor would stoop to this kind of action. At the end of the day, this personally targeted veto is far from funny. It is a life-threatening, unconstitutional move, Harrelson wrote. Gillette attorney and former Speaker of the House Tom Lubnow. Oh, wow, look at there, people. Tom Lubnow's still alive. Had no clue. Tom Lubnow disagrees that Gordon's move was unconstitutional and said there is always a cause and reaction in all political actions. Quote, if Harrelson voted against the budget, wouldn't he be getting what he asked for? Lubnow questioned. He's trying to blow hot and cold on the issue. I love when Tom Lubnow tries to speak about the law and the Constitution when, I don't know, what is it, 2, 3 frivolous lawsuits he's filed against the state, the Wyoming Republican Party, and certain other individuals that were immediately thrown out and laughed out of court as they had no standing. Come on, guy. But let's see what he has to say about the Constitution. Former Representative Lovenow also cited Article 1, Section 34 of the Wyoming Constitution, which states that all laws of a general nature shall have uniform operation, and was quoted as saying, an appropriation is not a law of general nature, nor is it an appropriation to a water tower in Wheatland. The governor has the discretion to line item veto things out of a budget bill. Okay, well, Tom, let me get you lined up here. An appropriation is not a law of general nature. Then why are all these appropriations going to the general fund? It's the general operating and regular expenses of the operations of the state. So we can play words there all day long. But when you say the governor has the discretion to line item veto things out of a budget bill, you're not wrong. He absolutely does. But when you add a snarky pointed attack on an individual in your veto message, you are now violating another principle entirely by showing your intent. So once again, sorry, I'm not sorry there, Tommy. Back to Wheatland. In January, the State Loan and Investment Board, the SLIB board, approved a $1.6 million emergency mineral royalty grant to Wheatland to start the process of replacing its failing 1 million gallon water tank. Harrelson had also voted against the adding $6.1 million to the mineral royalty grants program during the 2023 legislative session. The $1.6 million awarded was substantially less than the $7.5 million that the town had requested and will cause Wheatland to be dependent on whale wells while it seeks out other sources of money and credit to build the new tank. Quote, while these grants were insufficient to affect these complete repairs, they have provided something of a bridge for the town, Gordon wrote. In his veto letter, Gordon also complained that the water tank appropriation is another example of legislators trying to solve problems in the budget that should be dealt with through the creation of standalone legislation. Harrelson said many people come to broad sweeping conclusions about legislators like himself when they oppose aspects of the budget. Again, quote, tell a liberal you favor lower taxes and they'll respond by asking if you want to go without paved roads, running sewers, or other critical infrastructure. This is a baseless argument. Everyone wants basic public goods and services to be well-funded and functional, and that is why I'll always support the funding of the constitutional necessary functions of government. Harrelson and most of his fellow members of the Wyoming Freedom Caucus voted against the biennial budget at every stage. What Harrelson said he couldn't swallow is a 30% increase to Wyoming government spending over the past 5 years. Many have argued this spending is in line with inflationary pressures. Quote, our state government has become so detached from reality that it believed it could save and spend better than the people could themselves, Harrelson wrote. So there's the story out of the cow pie. I think everybody's focusing on the wrong thing here, including, I mean, Representative Harrelson, I did send him a message. You know, we always look at the supreme law of the land, the U.S. Constitution first, but I think there is another portion of this that's being looked over or missed a little bit. Again, El Gordo's line item veto message in Section 341 under American Rescue Plan Act, reappropriation and appropriation, which is in House Bill 0001, the budget for the state of Wyoming. We have, Wheatland has applied for regular grant funding to complete this project. So following the lead of local legislators who voted against the budget, the local legislator would be Jeremy Harrelson from Wheatland, thereby indicating their regard for the inclusion of this project in the budget, I have removed this provision. So I have a problem with that. Not only is it personally pointing out the vote or criticizing a legislator for their vote on a budget, it doesn't take into account the entire budget, as Representative Harrelson said. And there's plenty of individual representatives that would have good things in the budget for them, their county, their district, where they could be fundamentally opposed to the budget in its entirety. And I can see why they would vote no. But when the governor did this, he opened up a bit of a Pandora's box by saying, since you voted against the budget, I'm going to light item the things that benefit you. That is weaponizing veto powers. Otherwise, he wouldn't point out, and he does this to multiple legislators, you voted against the budget, so nothing for your district. You voted against the budget, so nothing for your district. And I'm going to say it's because you appear not to care. Well, why couldn't you be the bigger man there, Marky Mark? Why can't you care about the people? You are penalizing the people and putting them in danger because of your personal vendetta or demand that these legislators vote blindly on whatever budget comes down the pike. Not only is that wrong, I believe it's unconstitutional because of what it says in the Wyoming Constitution. Article 4, Section 10 of the Wyoming Constitution, under bribery or coercion of or by the governor. Any governor of this state who menaces any member by the threatened use or actual use of his veto power shall be punished in the manner now or that may hereafter be provided by law, and upon conviction thereof shall forfeit all right to hold or exercise any office of trust or honor in this state. So, vetoing that line item, not a problem. Vetoing that line item because you don't like the fact that Jeremy Harrelson voted against the budget in its entirety? Okay, internal problem inside your head, your feelings. Best of luck with those, Mr. Gordon. But putting in the veto message that is now public and historic record, legislative record, that you did it for that reason and doing it more than once, doing it to the people of Riverton and Wheatland, that is menacing a member by the threatened use or actual use of your veto power. Even though it is reactive, you didn't threaten him up front saying, if you don't vote for this budget, I'm not going to allow your water tower funding to go through. But there are future sessions. What is Jeremy Harrelson to think? Well, if I vote against this, the governor's going to cut off Wheatland, Wyoming from all infrastructure money. It is definitely a concern. It absolutely meets with the definition of menacing through the threatened use of veto power. And it is unquestionably a violation of our own state's constitution, which has a section dedicated to actions related to bribery or coercion of or by the governor. And this is one of the few places where it doesn't mince words. It says he shall be punished in the manner now or that may hereafter be provided in law, and as soon as he's convicted, he shall forfeit all right to hold or exercise any office of trust or honor within the state. Menaces with threatened or actual use of veto power. Enough said. Regardless of how you feel about it, the lawyers are going to dice up the words, say, well, technically it means this. The bottom line is the governor did it. It's on paper. Whether he had an intent to intimidate future votes of Representative Harrelson or Senator Salazar or not, the minute he put that extra commentary, that little stick into his veto message, he was guilty of violating this provision of the Constitution. Not going to even argue it. Oh, excuse me. I accidentally hit that cough button early. So is it likely that anything will come of that? No, I don't believe so. We have seen that certain individuals in the state, certain individuals in office, can violate the law with impunity. Perfect example, Dan Zwanitzer, by law and the Constitution, was not a representative because he had moved out of his district. He as much as admitted it. But instead of going through the legal channels and having a DCI investigation and putting it before the court, they decided, nah, we'll hand it off to the non-judiciary, non-law enforcement body of the House of Representatives and let them deal with it on their own. And it didn't go anywhere. They wouldn't even vote to investigate the legitimacy of the evidence that Dan Zwanitzer all but admitted to. So I don't think it's likely to go anywhere. I don't believe that it's likely anything will come from it. But does that mean that the governor should get a pass? No, absolutely not. It is very clear in the provision of the Constitution I just read, the governor has violated the Constitution. And I think people need to let him know about it and maintain this disdain for our governor. And since he's not up for re-election this year, and he will never be up for re-election as governor again, always remember this in case he decides to run for higher office later. Probably wants to be in the Senate. But during this election season, any legislator who's running for office or candidate that's running against a current legislator, ask them the questions. Did you support Governor Gordon's vetoes? Did you support Governor Gordon's comments? Do you support Governor Gordon's, carbon negative stance? And anybody who aligns themselves with Governor Gordon, who's now showing over the past year and a half that he has no sense of commonality with we the people here in Wyoming, he does not administer the government of the state on behalf of the people in good faith. hey, make his buddies pay. Do not elect these jokers that are Gordon's lapdogs. It's absolutely hypocrisy at its best, or its worst, when you look at all of the statements Governor Gordon and the rest of the Redcoats have made, I'd say in the last 3 or 4 years, but definitely this past year, talking about civility, professionalism, duty, dignity, at least dignity of the office. I mean, if he can't have dignity himself, you know, all that be damned. It's time for playground pissing matches, right, Mark? On official government documents, in contradiction to everything you've stated and pretended to believe in the past, rules for thee, but not for me, when you're, you know, the emperor of the face diaper kingdom of Wyoming, as long as you're getting federal money to keep this state of emergency intact. Yeah, nice little violation of civil liberties there, El Gordo. But the bottom line is it's all burning down around you, and you know it. And now you have a special session pending from multiple sides, directed specifically at your vetoes on bills. So, Marky Mark, if I were you, I'd stop playing with matches in bed and get out before the whole thing burns down. But ultimately, oh man, this computer is just not playing well today. Ultimately, I don't know what I'd do without Governor Gordon and all of his idiocy and his devious hypocrisy, because that's what I get to talk about all day, every day. So, Governor Gordon.
I'm proud of you, you know that. I hope you do.
Yeah, not good times. Going to be a rough couple of weeks. We'll have to keep an eye on what's happening with this special session, if this special session is happening. Looks like there's a lot of angles pushing towards special session for one reason or another. And whether you're on one side or the other, both sides are saying they have to do with problematic functions of Governor Gordon's vetoes. So stick with the Independence Network, and we will keep you up to date on all that. Got to jump back into a little bit of this hot fire music we got while the government seems to be burning itself down here in Wyoming. And when we come back, it's time for Where the Hell Did That Come From? Finding the foundations of our favorite figurative phrases.
Out where the river broke, the bloodwood and the desert oak, holding wrecks and boiling diesels, steam at 45 degrees.
The time
little midnight oil for you there as we're heating it up and burning it down here on Just Blame Joey Live today on the Independence Network. Yeah, I got to tell you, don't play with matches in bed there, Marky Mark, and really, maybe read the Constitution. Find out what your expectations are as governor and the limitations, because I'll tell you, that was absolutely uncalled for, and he could have gotten away with it so easily just by not putting in that last sentence in the official record of the veto message. But oh well, I've never heard anybody accusing him of being a terribly intelligent person, so I guess it's just par for the course. Getting back into our schedule, got our daily bit here. Where the hell did that come from? Finding the foundation of our favorite figurative phrases. Today's phrase that had sent to me was, Jailbird Joey, what does bite the bullet mean, or where does it come from? Well, thank you for that submission. I actually got that one long before the legislative session. Finally getting around to it now. So the meaning of bite the bullet is to decide to do something difficult or unpleasant that one has been putting off or hesitating over engaging in. The origin of the phrase bite the bullet, during battles where there was no time to administer anesthesia while performing surgeries, because of that, patients were made to bite down on bullets to distract them from the pain. Sounds pretty basic. Definitely something that probably happened here in Wyoming and the Dakotas not too long ago. Example of the phrase being used correctly in a sentence, quote, legislative leaders Albert and Augie screwed the pooch so badly yesterday that it looks like they're going to have to bite the bullet, call a special session, and risk showing their asses once again. So that is your version of, I don't know, I guess Gordon's going to have to do the same thing, bite the bullet, watch the legislature come back in and play with all of his hard-earned liberal stripes on paper. And that's going to do it for Where the Hell Did That Come From? Finding the foundations of our favorite figurative phrases. I got some, it looks like some messages coming into the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag. So I'm going to take a look at those for just a second, and we'll be right back and dive into that mailbag right here on Just Blame Joey Live.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet when hearts like ours meet. I fell for you like a child. But the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Johnny Cash classic, Ring of Fire, keeping the fire burning here today as we watch it all burn down around us here in Wyoming. I got to, that's one of my favorite songs. I love Johnny Cash. I remember pretty clearly back in the 80s, my my dad was heading off to the hospital to get hemorrhoid surgery, and I put that song on the radio, and amazingly, even with the bad condition he was in, he had the energy to kick the crap out of me. But okay, well, I guess he wasn't too affected by his burning ring of fire. Anyway, icky joke. We did get that pellet stove of patriotism cranked up here in the 1776 Audio Foundry studio, giving off that warm glow of American pride, as it is kind of cold outside today. Looks like we're heading into third winter. Only got about, I don't know, 6 to 9 weeks of that left. But I did get my cup of Jailbird Joey Java filled up, and we're ready to jump into the biological mailbag. So here we go. Jailbird Joey, is there, if there is a special session, does the leadership get to dictate the limit on what is addressed and how long they will be there? From our good friend Pam in Gillette. It's been a while, Pam. Glad to have you back in the mailbag. Let's see if there's a special session. No, the leadership doesn't get to really dictate anything. They can't even dictate if there is a special session. In fact, that was the process that was being engaged in by many of the conservatives beforehand, was calling a special session by certain levels of votes of the members of each chamber. The request for a poll to call the special session required about 35% of both chambers. And then once that poll reached the 35% mark, the leadership must submit a full poll to, will we call a special session? And that has a 50%. So that's really the only thing that is leadership specific in getting into a special session. If there is one, it's the Wild West. All rules and limitations are to be decided by a vote of both chambers separately. Just like a regular bill, the House will say, these are the rules we want. The Senate will say, these are the rules we want. They'll go back and forth until they settle on some rules. And that's the very first order of business. Now, the rules of each chamber and the rules of the legislature still apply. But what they're going to limit the discussion to, what they're going to allow to be presented, and how long they plan on staying, those are the rules that they will really vote on in the beginning. And they can also vote not only at the beginning, but on any given measure to suspend the rules of the chamber, which we saw in the legislative session, in order to get certain business done. So it's really much more open in a special session up until those rules are decided at the beginning. The things that they probably, well, that they can address and how they would address them and probably will address, vetoes. And when they come to dealing with vetoes, the regular procedure of the chamber, if we were in a normal session, would apply. It's the veto override process. So no amendments. Here is the governor's veto. Vote it up, vote it down, send it to the other chamber. Other chamber concurs with a certain majority. Then they will go ahead and override that veto. I believe it's 2/3 of each chamber. But you can't change laws. You can only address the veto. Any new bills, any bills that were killed, any bills that died in committee, any bills that failed introduction in the previous session, could be brought back or submitted. New bills can be brought if it doesn't violate the rules that they decide on at the beginning of the special session. But all of those new bills, dead bills, bills that were never made it out of committee, or bills that failed introduction would follow the regular process, three readings on separate days, assignment to a committee, has to come back out of committee, and then both chambers must concur. So if they're going to bring any new legislation, try to revive old legislation, whatever, that's a minimum of a, I would say, a 5-day process once you get all the way through, if you can get to concurrence. And here's the zinger. You bring something new that you're not dealing with vetoes on. Well, the session, special session, is going to end at some point. Governor could veto your new bills as well. And as we've seen, obviously, Governor Gordon is, you know, vindictive as hell. And, you know, lets his personal feelings on things affect the way he governs and applies governance to legislation. So I don't know if it's a good idea to be bringing any new bills and giving him the opportunity to, you know, piss you off as a legislator and then really disappoint your constituents unilaterally. And then any bill this session or in the past that has already passed into law, it's law. It can't be amended. If you want to change something in a law, it must come as a new bill, as a change to current language in law, because it already went through the legislative process. It's already been signed by the governor. There is no veto, And it's, like I said, it's gone through the process. So you'd have to bring an amendment to an existing statute if you want to address any bills that have passed into law already. So I hope that answers your question there, Pam and Gillette. Again, we don't know any of this. If we're having a special session, what we're going to have a special session for. I know the governor isn't looking forward to one. Legislative leadership was unalterably opposed to the idea yesterday morning, but I don't know. Maybe they had a 3-martini lunch and changed their mind by the time lunch was over, because they were completely the opposite, 180 by the middle of the day yesterday. So we'll have to see how all that goes. But stay in touch, Pam, out there in Gillette. Always enjoy getting those questions from you in the biological mailbag here at Just Blame Joey Live. And we will try to continue to break down this process as it develops. Hey, we finally got something from our good... Yep, you guys are going to hear this. Let me read over this note from Les real quick, make sure it's presentable, and we will be right back with a note from our favorite liberal freeloading mama's basement dweller, Les, after such a long break, right here on the Independence Network. Little hot stuff from Donna Summers, keeping it hot all day here today, keeping an eye on what's going on all across the state, but mainly in that middle swamp of Cheyenne. And it kind of reminds me of the Cuyahoga River back there in Cleveland in the 70s. Yeah, Cheyenne's a swamp, but somehow it's also burning. Not joking. Cuyahoga River back in the mid to late 70s caught fire, a river burning. And that's what we're seeing possibly out of Cheyenne today. But as everybody's been waiting for, and I'm glad to have him back too. Now I didn't edit, but I cut out a bunch of the superfluous extras that Les sent me here because, well, I work with David Iverson, and Ken Pendergraft is a preacher, and there's just certain things I can't get away with, even on my own show. So today's note from our favorite liberal freeloading mama's basement dweller, Les, Reader's Digest edition. Jackass, I see you are back. Too bad. I thought you had suffered some well-deserved accident and weren't going to be doing this anymore. Oh, well, one can hope. And then he goes on from there in a very Gordon-esque kind of veiled series of, I don't know, words I just can't say on the show because I promised David and Ken I would try to rein it in. But thanks, Les. It's good to hear from you. I'm glad you're still out there. Can't say I missed you, but haven't heard from you in a while. And you obviously listen to the show, which of course I appreciate, but I don't get how you missed all of the morning show content we put out, David Iverson and I, during the session or since the session. I mean, I really didn't go away. I just changed it up a little for the session. And maybe, I don't know, you missed it. You weren't paying attention, but I'm not back, but I guess I'm back. I don't know. But anyway, Les, I'm glad you're comfortable with hoping some accident befalls me. That's kind of, again, a little Gordon-esque. But remember, in the end, we all get what we deserve in this life. So it's likely that I'm just going to end up being safe and sound on the air and doing this daily, since it's absolutely what you seem to deserve to deal with in life. So if we all get what we deserve, that's probably why I'm back, Les, because you've earned it. I don't even know how to deal with this guy. I'm a little out of, you know, a little rusty, a little out of practice. I haven't dealt with Les in like a month and a half. So just remember, Les, there's no mandate anywhere to listen to the show. So you can tune out anytime you want, or like we said earlier today, just bite the bullet, keep on listening, and let those delicate sensitivities you got get all worked up into uncontrollable feelings and temper tantrums every morning at 9 and 11, because that's when we're going to be doing it. Either way, as always, Les, I thank you for sharing your feelings and wish you the best of luck with those.
Go outside, nerd. Get out. Go. I ain't got time to be distracted by your worthless chime ends. Go on.
Yeah, I'm going to keep letting you on, Les. I have no sense that it would be a good idea to restrict you, so keep sending those letters to the biological mailbag. If you want to send a comment, complaint, concern, question, critique, or any criticism yourself, you can send that to Joey at justblamejoey.com, and I'll be sure to either get it on the air or reply back to you if I can't get it on the air. But yeah, love those worthless chime-ins there, Les. Don't know how I could live without them. See, got about 4 minutes. I'm going to check back into the biological mailbag. Little Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire, keeping it burning all day here on Just Blame Joey Live.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much of love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let in love what I thought it was funny. You came along and moved me, honey. I've changed my mind, this love is fine. Goodness great balls of fire. Kisses, baby. Feels good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a shoe. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. Got you my nails down and I twiddle my thumb. I'm real on earth, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby. It drives me crazy. It's just great balls of fire. Hold me, baby. Well, I often love you like I love a shoe. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. Ain't you trying to kill me? I quit on my thumb. Real nervous, so bloody show is fun. Come on, baby. Run crazy. Run this drink. It's just great balls of fire.
That's right. Great balls of fire being flung left, right, and center out there with your government in Cheyenne. We got the conservatives saying, hey, this is garbage. This was massively supported legislation that you vetoed, Governor. And Governor Gordon saying, I'm vetoing it because I don't like your attitude or your voting record. And now legislative leadership saying, well, we thought we were totally against a special session, but maybe we're not. We'll have to figure that out. If you're wondering about what I'm talking about, make sure you're tuning in this afternoon when we replay the morning show and Cowboy State Politics with David Iverson. Get you all caught up. We replay that afternoon or morning schedule every afternoon. A couple of upcoming events here that you might want to be aware of. Harriet Hageman is going to be at the Bomber Mountain Civic Center in Buffalo tonight at 5:30. So you happen to be in the Buffalo Sheridan area, Story, Wyoming, you're included. Get on over to Bomber Mountain and meet with our legislative representative up there in Congress in D.C. Let's see. The Carbon County Republican Party is going to hold a legislative session review with Senator Larry Hicks and Representative Bob Davis at the Jeffrey Center in Rawlins on the 3rd of April at 6 p.m. Don Burkhart, once again, doesn't have time to talk to the party. He's busy doing other things. Well, check his voting record. You'll see what he's interested in doing, but it's definitely not explaining it to the members of the Republican Party here in Carbon County. And we got to keep an eye on this management council meeting Monday, April 1st at 8 a.m. via Zoom or YouTube. You can find that link on the YO Ledge website, www.yolege.gov. And I'm sure that if they don't have an answer about special session by then, they will be discussing it at that meeting. So we're going to wrap it up here at Just Blame Joey Live. Stick around. Got plenty of content coming your way right here on the Independence Network all day long. And it's time to wrap it up here. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Just Blame Joey. And if you did, make sure to go to any of your social media accounts, look up Just Blame Joey, like and subscribe, and make sure to add the show to your automatic download feed on any of your podcasting apps. That way you'll be sure to never miss a moment of the cantankerous commentary and political entertainment. And if you didn't enjoy the show, you can always subscribe without liking. That way you can justify all your illegitimate anger and frustration while you just blame Joey. Just Blame Joey Live is a production of the Independence Network. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.